Spirit, spirit, curious. 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 Welcome everyone to episode 10 of Spiritorious podcast with me, Josefina.
And me, Emma. Welcome.
Today we have another English episode. So we will do the intro in English as well. So all of you English speaking people out there can understand the whole episode. And as we said, I think we said that in the other English episode that we did, but this is not really, we are not used to speaking English to each other, me and Emma.
No, no, not at all.
It always feels a little bit awkward, but I think we will get used to it because we will have conversations with people all over the world. And in this episode, you will get to meet a wonderful woman. Her name is Ines Jose Lopez, and she is from the very magical place of Oaxaca in Mexico.
Ines, she's a Mixteca medicine woman. She's born in a family of traditional healers in the mountains of Oaxaca, Mexico. Her life mission is to continue with the legacy of the wisdom of her ancestors while facilitating healing processes that allow the power of the spirit to flourish and create great balance and wellness.
Yeah, so beautiful. Yeah. And it was such a lovely conversation with her. And we are so grateful that we got this opportunity to sit down with her. And it's also so amazing nowadays when we have this technology that we can gather all of us women all around the world, and that we can have a conversation with someone from Mexico, for example. And it's really amazing and magical. And I don't think we should forget that, how important and powerful that is, that we can connect. We can connect in a totally different way right now. So it's, it's really magical. And yeah. We had a wonderful conversation with Ines about life, really. And she's such a wisdom holder and wisdom keeper. And she has so much knowledge, and she's such a healer and in so many ways.
Couldn't you tell our listeners about how you came in contact with her?
Yeah, sure. I have a coach in America. She's my wonderful coach, and she has met with Ines, and I think she has also been to her. Been to Mexico and visited her there, and I think they did a retreat together in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. And so yes, she was the one introducing me to Ines, and she was like, I think you should really talk to Ines. She's such an amazing person, and she really is. So I'm really grateful that we got this connection from her. And so, well, we talk about all things spiritual with Ines, but we talk about life and how life can be. And it's such a, she has an amazing story. And so Ines, she's a healer, and she's a medicine woman. And she also introduces, you can say, she introduces Oaxaca. She has created something that she called Oaxaca Mystical Tours, for example, so that she will bring people to sacred places where ancient Mixteco and Zapoteco people used to perform their healing ceremonies. And I think we just have to go. We just have to visit her in Oaxaca.
Yeah, we just have to. It sounds so amazing.
So amazing to all of these sacred places. Yeah. For example, she says, I would just read from her webpage here, I will then take you to a sacred river close by where you will get to experience the purifying power of the water. Afterwards, we will stop with the local family for breakfast and learn about the food and drinks of the gods. And then she says like this, before driving back to Oaxaca, I will perform a traditional energy healing with medicinal plants for you to release stress, get renewed, and indulge your soul. I mean,
oh, what a journey.
What a journey. I think we have to go to Mexico. We have to visit her in Mexico.
Yeah, of course. We have to do that.
And she does so much. She also offers
rituals, ceremonies, retreats. She does weddings and other experiences.
Yes, and ancient medicine journeys.
And you find her on Instagram at Waka Mystical, and we will link it in the episode.
Yes, of course. And I also wanted to read something from her Instagram, which we found so. It was connected to this episode. And the post is, validate your emotions and feelings. We are in times of excessive optimism. Social media is a good example of it. Optimism is important in order to pursue our dreams and maintain a good attitude when things get a little hectic for us. However, some people are overusing optimism to numb themselves and diminish or completely ignore their true feelings and emotions, especially the ones that are considered negative. In order to maintain a healthy emotional state, it is imperative to be aware of the feelings we experience in our everyday lives and validate our true emotions. It is the only way we can truly get to know ourselves.
Yeah, I feel so connected to this.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if we are going to say that much more. I think we should just hand over to our conversation with the magical woman, Ines. Mm. And we hope you will enjoy this conversation as much as we did. So hope you will have a nice and wonderful weekend, everyone. And we just leave space here for Ines. So welcome to the podcast, Ines, all the way from Oaxaca in Mexico. We are so happy to have you here on our podcast, and we've been so excited for this, and we are so curious to hear more about you. So welcome with all our hearts.
Thank you so very much. It's quite a pleasure and an honor to be here today with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we thought that we just wanted to jump right in and ask you, who are you and what are you doing in the world, Ines?
Who am I?
Yeah, very, very small question.
I'm a woman that comes from the lineage of the Mixtecos in Oaxaca. The Mixtecos is one of the biggest ancient cultures, at least in the state of Oaxaca, and actually two more states in Mexico. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are not familiar with Oaxaca, Oaxaca is actually, it's considered one of the states in Mexico that is home for nowadays for at least 19 different ancient groups. I would rather stay away from the word indigenous, although a lot of people say, you know, refer to us as indigenous. Mm-hmm. But one of my colleagues, she spent most of her life in the mountains, and she says to me, I was always Mije. When I first went to the city is when I found out that I was different, you know, that I was in a different group, which was considered indigenous and not, you know, Mije. And she said, to me, you are either Mije or not, but not something else. So ever since I heard that, it's like the same for me. You know, I'm a New Savvy woman, a Mixteca woman, and that's it. And the groups, the wisdom that Oaxaca still holds is ancient wisdom. So that's why I like to refer to the culture, pueblos originarios, we call it, which is like in the translation, I don't know if there's one translation for it, but it's like almost like the not the originals, but like the groups or the groups of people that have been here for a very long time. Let's put it that way. So, you know, I'm part of one of those groups, one of the largest groups of the ancient civilizations of Oaxaca. And those are the Mixtecos, and they are called the Ñuusaabi in the Mixteco language. And that means the people that came from the rain. So it is believed that Mixtecos came with in a very rainy day, and, you know, the gods and the goddesses sent the blessings. And actually, the Mixtecos came from, there's different stories, but there's these two trees that came together in a very rainy day, and the tree was right next to the river. So lots of water is considered into this lineage. And actually, water represents life. Life on planet Earth, life here in this physical presence. So that, you know, that's who I am. I am a woman who happens to have a very long personal journey that I started about 20 years ago. And although I was born in a lineage of, you know, the Mixtecos, I was born a healer. I was born in a family of healers. I was, a lot of things used to happen to me since I was little. I was hesitant to follow this path. I didn't want to be considered indigenous. I didn't want to be, I went through a lot of bullying at school for having dark skin and having dark hair. So I didn't want to be me. I didn't want to be who I was. And I tried so many different ways, which at the end, I am very grateful because, you know, this is from not wanting to be what I was, I got to learn English so I can communicate, in these days of more digital exposure, it's a lot easier to communicate. Yeah. But, you know, having the background that I had, I didn't want to be who I was. And the more I didn't, the more disconnected I was and the unhappier I was. So I had to start my personal journey in order to go back to my roots, to go back to my hometown, to reconnect with everything and to be at peace with everything and at least have a, you know, more fulfilling life that can make me feel happier today. So that's who I am. I'm a woman. I'm a Ñuusaabi woman that with my own experience and also with the wisdom of my ancestors, I assist people in their own reconnection, in their finding themselves, in finding meaning to their own lives and finding more peace and more wholeness and more connection with themselves. So I work a lot with people that need spiritual assistance from the spiritual standpoint. I assist people in reconnecting with themselves, understanding what's happening, understanding their emotions, allowing the body to experience the emotions and healing. And if, you know, calling the soul back and making this alignment with their own selves so they can hopefully have a more fulfilling life. And that's the whole purpose, you know, having a better experience while we are here on planet Earth is always a must. Since we're in such a beautiful planet.
So beautifully described. Thank you. And do you remember what made you want to go back? Because you went to the States, right?
Yes.
You went to the States and then something called you back.
Well, basically, I wasn't happy with, you know, I when I was a little girl, I had a very difficult childhood. So I used to dream on running away. And, you know, here in Mexico, we have this privilege of white people being better. It's always been a subject. So I remember that, you know, going to school, I was born in the mountains. And then when it was time for me to start school, my mother moved to Mexico City, so I could have better opportunities, you know, again, thinking that the city life, the society makes your standards. And she really wanted a different life for us because she was one of the first women that left her hometown So she was very judged for that. And she was very, people were very cruel with her for doing that. And then she was one of the first women that said, I'm not going to put up with machismo, which happens a lot here, especially in these areas of Mexico. And she left my father. Mm-hmm. So also, you know, being a single mother was such a horrible thing back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm talking about 45 years ago.
Yeah.
And even longer, you know, and it was such a bad thing. So she was very judged for that. And she was also a healer. So she was accused of being a bruja, we call them here. So, you know, there were so many things that were happening in her life that she wanted to prevent us from not going through that.
Mm.
So she moved to Mexico City so we could have better opportunities. So can like be different from what we were, you know. And it was a very good school. I am grateful for that opportunity because that also broadened my vision of education. But it was a very tough school because it was for rich people and I wasn't rich. And it was mostly for white people and I wasn't white. So, you know, being, you know, going through all the bullying when I was little, that added to everything else that was going on in my life. So I hated who I was. I hated my life. I hated being poor. I hated having the mother that I had. I hated everything. Mm-hmm. And I used to think that, you know, by trying to become white or trying to move to the United States, which was already like the fantasy of a lot of, you know, we call it the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
If we could only go to America, maybe I would not only be rich, but I could also be white and have blue eyes or green eyes, or, you know, and be beautiful. So I so much wanted, and so I so much used to dream about having a different life from this Disney movies that they show us, you know, we're so impacted with that. And I so much wanted that life. I wanted to be Cinderella. I wanted, you know, since I was a little girl. So to me, running away or going to the States was going to make all of that happen. And I was 14 years old when my mother passed. So that's when I was on my own and I was in charge of my life. And I had to make up a decision whether I was going to go to school or not, or what I was going to do with my life if I wanted to have a better life.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to learn languages, and I decided to go to the States so I could live my American dream. So of course, when I went, I was around 18. And when I got there, I realized that it was not what I thought. You know, literally, I was in fantasy. So I used to think that I would literally see these pink elephants fly in the air and that I was going to be Heidi, you know, in the mountains, in this beautiful home. And yes, I went with a very beautiful family. I am so grateful for meeting them in my path. They were so nice. And they were the family that I didn't have here in Mexico in so many ways. And they helped me a lot. But I realized that I wasn't happy. I started realizing that no matter where I was, no matter what I had, I wasn't happy.
Mm.
So I started, you know, I started going to school, I started learning, but I wasn't happy. I was missing something. And at age 21 is when I started searching for help. Finally, you know, professional help, because I didn't know back then, but I had already had deep episodes of depression, anxiety. So I started searching for help. And when I started finding help, I realized that, yes, I wasn't happy. I was, you know, trying to be someone that I wasn't, and trying to fulfill this idea of the perfect happiness, and it wasn't happening. So all of that pushed me back into my roots. I came back to Mexico. I went back to my hometown. It was since my mother passed, we hadn't gone back to my hometown.
Yeah.
So when I came back the first time after 2 years of living the American dream, I decided to go back to my hometown and kind of just be there, you know, just experience it from a different perspective and from not so much hate, because also there was so much suffering when we were living in this hometown. You know, there was no running water. There were no services, but the services weren't the issue. The fact that we were used to living in the city and trying to adjust living in the mountains was what made it difficult. Mm-hmm. And my mother trying to make us, for her, it was no difference. You know, she grew up there. She was used to that. She understood so much of nature, but we didn't. We were little. So the things that she wanted us to do were just so difficult for us. So it was really hard for us. It would take time for us to readjust to that type of life. And when we were first readjusting, it was time to come back again. But so when I went back, I'm the one that learned the most from my mother, mm-hmm. because although I was little, I was the one that she put to assist her, you know, cutting plants, doing this, doing that, mm-hmm. Calling in the soul. So I knew the things that she did. I understood. I knew them, but I didn't understand them. Mm-hmm. So I knew how to do certain things. I knew how to call in the, you know, the soul back when people are having exactly what I had. I mean, not necessarily in these words, you know, but I knew how to do so many things. I just didn't understand why. So when I went back, I started asking around and finding more about my mother, because she was also the only child. So it was not, you know, like there was someone that would tell me about her or about how her life was, only, you know, a few siblings that she had. And so I spent a lot of time there, and I started, you know, coming to connect with my own pain. And really that's all I had, you know, so much pain that didn't allow me to be happy or to enjoy life. And I started going back and forth in Mexico and the United States. And it's been a long journey. You know, the more I found out, the more I knew that this was the path, but the more I refused to do it, the more I didn't think this was the path. So it's taking me quite a few years. It's been a very long journey. It's been only 10 years that I have was almost forced to fully commit to what I do full time, you know, because I was doing it every now and then. I would do a few little sessions. I would do some healing for my sisters, for myself. Also, I learned, you know, I started practicing more on me. And first it was because I had the need to find myself.
Yeah.
So I would do more and more. And then I started searching for more therapy, different types of therapy. And the more I found out about other medicines, the more I understood my own roots and the own healing that we have here in Mexico. Traditional Mexican medicine is just as big as Chinese medicine, as good as, you know, Indian medicine, Ayurveda, as big as so many other cultures. And there's a book that I can't remember the name right now, but it talks about the six different mother cultures. Mm-hmm. It talks, you know, about the Chinese, the Indian, the Peruvian area, or the Andean area, Mesopotamia, and Mexico happens to be there. But to me, after so many years of researching and, you know, coming back to my roots, to me, all the ancient civilizations had a very particular and amazing wisdom that we cannot say that there's only six cultures where the true medicine comes from. Although, I mean, I'm granted Mexico is there and it's beautiful, mm-hmm. but, you know, there's so much wisdom that we possess throughout the world and throughout, you know, in Europe, you have Stonehenge, which is an ancient cultures, and we cannot put that away. I started realizing that the Mixtecos consider the soul to be a very important part of the human being. And when we're missing that connection with our soul, a lot of illnesses, a lot of mental, emotional, and physical illnesses show up. And they were very good at that. They were very good at the connection with this wisdom that comes from the spirit. It was very easy for them to connect with their own spirit, and from there connect with the higher spirit of life that allowed them to awaken their senses, to expand their consciousness and to expand so much of them. So that's why they were able to build so many beautiful cities. And part of my mission of being here in Oaxaca in the city is presenting this to the world, you know, talking about everything that we don't see, but that we experience.
Yeah.
Oaxaca is very colorful. The food is delicious. And people always come here, and just by landing here, they are like, oh, this is such a beautiful place. Yes, it is. And what makes it so beautiful and so unique is actually the essence. And the essence is certainly the ancient civilizations and the whole spiritual part that we don't see, we don't touch, we don't feel, but we do certainly experience. And that's you know, that's actually the whole essence of everything, you know, of becoming a happier or a more joyous human being, and also being in places where or experiencing places in different ways.
Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much. I was yeah, and I think what I can feel also when you write and when you do your stories on Instagram, Oaxaca seems like such a magical place. And I know that you do bring people there. Can you talk a little bit about what you do, your work there?
Yeah, certainly. I do. I have like three different segments of it. You know, it's the more I do it, the more I can, like, you know, it's easier. So one is to kind of like introduce it, like if there's someone that doesn't even have an idea what spirituality is, or someone that doesn't really care about any of that stuff, that sounds kind of, oh, I don't know what that is, you know. It's a lot of times when we say the word spirituality is like, oh, and what is that? It's something, you know, most of the time we relate it to religion. Or to something that is kind of weird. And basically the spirituality, at least for the ancient Mixtecos, is nothing but the extension of yourself. You know, this field that we don't see, but it's there, and it's actually the spirit. This part of us that allows us to have this extra force that we don't know where it comes from, but it's there. And basically the spirit is what relates to life.
Yeah.
And the spirit is, you know, now there's so many new words and so fancy words that talk about the same thing that the ancient people did, you know, like nowadays we talk about quantum physics, and there's so many big or renowned people out there that are talking about the quantum physics and the, oh, I forgot right now, the fact that your brain is flexible, and it's got a name. It's like a science that they've come up with.
Epigenetics?
Yes.
Yeah.
Epigenetics. Uh-huh. Yeah. Now they're considering the soul, and now they're saying that the spirit has certain resonance, and that your glands move in a certain way. So now they're having this whole scientific explanation to all of this. But it's ancient wisdom. All of this is based on the ancient wisdom, on the ancient people throughout the world. Again, you know, I'm not going to limit myself to just say, oh, the ancient people of Oaxaca, although my lineage is from Oaxaca, and that's what I know. So for respect to other cultures, I'm not going to generalize or going to other, you know, into other cultures that I don't quite know as deep. But from what I've seen in essence, a lot of them consider the soul or the spirit to be a very important part of the human being. And that's basically what spirituality is. So in that sense, everybody is spiritual because everybody has a spirit. And I tell people, you don't have to believe that you have a spirit. We're not going to get into that or argue. Let's just experience this from a different standpoint and see what happens to you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I do. So in one sense, people that have no idea, don't want to know anything about religion, nothing about any of this, I have half day or day experiences where we do certain, I do an introduction of what the spiritual life is. We do a small welcome ceremony and we explore nature. Mm. Okay, so that's for people that are just looking for something to kind of like have a better idea as to what spirituality is and kind of like have an introduction into this part of the spiritual part of Oaxaca. So we also, you know, we also experience food and drinks and certain things, but everything from the standpoint of spirituality, or, you know, from the spirit.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other part is for people that are looking, that are in, you know, having a hard time with their lives, they're experiencing a breakup, they've experienced a really, they're struggling with somebody's passing, you know, people that need deep healing. I also do that. Everything that has to do more with the emotional part, although I work with the body as well, because I'm also an acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. My specialty is more into digging into the soul and reconnecting the soul. Mm-hmm. More than the physical part. So it's, yes. You know, so that's what I do. I assist people in finding answers, or the answers that they can't. In other words, a little bit like a psychologist,
mm-hmm.
but with more into the spiritual part of everything that has to do with what they are experiencing. So more like in the wholeness of it. Mm. Mm-hmm. And so it can either be like a talk therapy per se. We can do soul journeys that to go deeper into the spirit. We can do, I work a lot with fresh herbs are my kind of like my main tool for a lot of things. So I work a lot with herbs, and that's like the deep healing that I do with people. People can come in groups. People can come as individuals. We can do a 2-hour session, 2.5 session. We can do half a day. We can do a few days. We can do a whole journey of a few days, and everything is focused on that, you know, the deep healing of the soul, or
yeah,
reconnecting with the soul. And I also do retreats, I also do workshops, and I also do ceremonies, all kinds of ceremonies, wedding ceremonies, birthday ceremonies, any celebration that we need to celebrate.
Yeah,
you know, life on planet Earth cannot be fully enjoyed if we don't add the pleasure of, you know, of joy.
I completely agree with you. We need more joy, and we need more ceremonies,
more celebrations.
More exactly. Celebrations, definitely.
So So I do ceremonies, and I do all kinds of celebrations. And also for people that had gone through a really bad breakup and they need to, you know, have something a little bit more meaningful so they can move forward with the lives, we also do that, and we always add the pleasure part of it. As degree or as a master's, I hold a master's in psychology for people that have gone through sexual abuse, or that, you know, we call it sexología humanista here in Mexico, but every time I look for the term, it's like a sexologist. What does she do? Is that about sex only? You know, things like that. So,
yeah.
it's more to, it's like a sex, psychology and sexuality. And sexuality is about, again, you know, experiencing the body. experiencing the body not only in the erotism, but also in the way we create relationships, in the way we see ourselves, in the way we communicate and go into society according to our gender. You know, that's also been another thing that we've been differentiated from what gender we belong to and what our roles are supposed to be. So I consider myself also not quite a feminist, but I am, you know, along those lines. So yeah, working with the communities, with little children, empowering them and helping them or learning from them, actually, because we normally tend to think that children need to learn from adults, but we need to learn from them more. So spending time with kids, assisting them in, you know, this the biological changes, but also the spiritual and emotional changes that we go through when we start growing up and going through all the hormonal changes. That's what I do. That's my service that I offer to the communities as a, you know, as a service, as something, a social service that I offer to the communities, to give back to some of the communities.
I'm just, I want to ask a question about your spiritual awakening. You told us that you were born a healer, but did you have a moment, like a spiritual awakening moment that you remember?
You know, it's, I know that a lot of people say, yes, I had a spiritual awakening moment. I've gone through so many of them. You know, I don't think there's just one moment that, I mean, yes, the fact that I wasn't happy, and the fact that I wanted more, that, and ever since I was little, I remember, you know, not feeling happy. But really, when I realized that I found no happiness, no pleasure, no matter what I did, no matter if I was wearing, you know, I never had tons of money to wear Mickey Mouse shoes or anything like that. But all the money that I made in the United States, I used to spend it in bags, in clothes, in, you know, in partying. Something that has always brought me joy is music. Mm. And I love live music. It can be like the worst band, but just the fact of someone connecting with it, an instrument in such a particular way, to me is so pleasant. So live music is kind of like something that brings me back to life. So those were the only moments that I remember, you know, when I would play certain type of music or when I would go see a certain band, I would like feel rejoiced. But other than that, there was nothing else that would be fulfilling. Yes, here I have, I'm living my American dream, but I'm not happy.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I wanted, but I don't seem to find peace within me. And basically, you know, this is, I wish I could say, oh, I'm such a master now at my life, that my life is just, you know, flourishing in such an amazing, beautiful way. Yes, there are times that I feel that way, and there are times that I'm so grateful for what I have and for what I do, and more than anything for the blessings that I receive when I encounter people like you, you know, even in this podcast, when I have the opportunity to express myself or to share all of this, it's very fulfilling. But you know, it's when I realized that, and the gift that life itself is when it was like, oh, life is so much different than just, you know, suffering, or than just trying to fit in certain groups or in be this person that I don't want to be. And, you know, life has put me through a lot of challenges. ever since I was little. I know that my life has been such a challenge ever since I was little.
Yeah.
And it keeps putting me in certain challenges only to know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And that's, to me, that's, you know, I'm still learning that. I'm still practicing that. I'm still becoming an expert at my own life and my own wants, and we change all the time. So what happens in the healing, in the healer's life, is that we need to be able to realize what is our own stuff, what is our own things that we have to work, what really comes from the spiritual world, you know, from other forces and energies, and what may be something from the other person. That's where the trick is. And not everybody, not all of us can see the difference. So if we're going to be in this service, I am convinced that we are required to work our own personal issues. Yeah. Always. If we as healers are not capable of dealing or understanding or dealing with our own personal stuff, because we have this personal life, then we have the spiritual life, and we have the commitment that we made a very long time ago. And it's three things that have to be moving on, at least at, if not at the exact same pace, at least, you know, try to even them out, because otherwise we're not going to be able to fulfill one of these three areas, or we're not going to, we can fail, in other words. Yeah. And we're not going to be capable of assisting people in the best way possible and with the best assistance that we need. So it's, you know, it's all these things that as healers, we are required to become more, I wouldn't even say loving or sensitive, you know, more in alignment, more in alignment with the requirements of the spirit of each person, our own spirit. And that, I mean, takes a lifetime.
Yeah.
That is the hardest, that is the hardest thing to do. And this comes from a woman that has been immersed in this since I was little, since I was born.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever says, oh no, this is such an easy thing, and I'm sorry, it hasn't been it's not my story. You know, it's, I wish I could say, I'm so highlighted now and my life is so, I mean, yes, in so many ways it is, but I'm still a person, I'm still a human being. And to me, for as long as we are still human beings, we're still going to experience human challenges.
Yeah.
You know, until the day that we pass, and we all come to challenges, and we all come to this. And I can't say that I have all the answers, that I hold all the truths, that I know everything.
No.
But the more I rely on the wisdom of my own spirit and my own soul, and from there connect, like I said, like the Mixtecos did, the easier it is, and the more meaning that I find. So it's such a long answer for your question. You know, had a moment of awakening, several. So many different ways.
But I can really relate to that, because I feel the same thing. You have so many layers to it, and it's dimensions to it. It's difficult to say that it's a moment, but because it's so many layers to it. And as you say, I mean, you're never going to be fully learned or fully, because you always keep on learning these things, and you get deeper and deeper, and it gets harder and harder in some ways as well, I feel, at least. But it gets easier also, because you also, you find tools and you find yourself easier now than you did before. I really do feel that a lot of women, especially maybe, and also men, of course, but I think that a lot of women can really relate to what you're saying, that we are, you know, there is some kind of, you know, it's some kind of template for what a life, what a happy life should be. And you should do those things. You should have the career. You should do this and you should do that. And you should look like this. And I feel that right now there are so many here, at least in Sweden, that feels, they feel like there's, even though they have everything, they feel empty. And that's where I think we need some connection. We need more connection. We need connection to ourselves, our own spirit, as you say, and to just to something bigger. And I know that you and I talked about that when we spoke, but we are also so much in our mind all the time. We're just thinking about everything. We're just thinking about, so we forget to feel, and we forget our heart, and we forget. So how do you work with that? How do you help other women and yourself to come down from your head into your heart?
Well, everybody talks about being present, you know, the present moment.
Yeah.
But it's actually, it sounds very complicated, you know, when we say that, being present in the present moment, and how do I do that? Mm. How do I be present?
Yeah.
Forget about all my worries and my concerns and,
yeah.
And just here. Well, something that you mentioned that I consider very important is that, yes, we have always struggled, you know, men and women have always struggled. And we tend to think that for us women is becoming more difficult. But I think, yeah. Just to not forget our loving man out there. it's always been, it's been the issue of the human race. Mm-hmm. You know, being human is not so human. It's not easy. Oh. And with society teaching us so many things about our differences, we've been taught more about differences than similarities.
Yeah.
And it seems that we are all looking for the same, but in a different way. So men are looking for kind of like the same thing, but in a different way. And we are looking for the same thing in a different way. Mm-hmm. And now the problem that we women have is that, you know, that we've, no matter where we were born, I used to think that women that were born in the States had a lot of freedom and were so open and were so empowered. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that it wasn't quite true. And then I thought, women in Europe, mm-hmm. let's not even talk about the people in Asia, because that's different, you know, and the people in Afghanistan and all of that. We're not like experiencing the same. But in a way, I found out from the women that I've worked that come from everywhere in the world. I mean, I've had people from Russia, from France, from a lot of people from the United States, of course, but, you know, from every part of the world. And there's always a tiny little bit of us women thinking that we're here and men are here.
Yeah, you're showing with your hands that we are below the men,
and that we always have to do more, do certain things to be here and to earn it, to earn that. And that's, I think that's the problem, that we're still, you know, we've been impacted by so much since we've been born, that it's hard to sometimes to even distinguish. But when I encounter, you know, there's not been a woman that I have met yet that I could say, oh, she's totally not into this whole system that we've been taught, you know, one way or another. We're all into, you know, the same kind of a path. Mm. And I think it's that's the thing, you know, that's our challenge, to really understand who we are and all this power that we have and how to assist people or how to help to you know, to connect with the spirit. This simpler way is to close the sight. Our sight is so overused.
Mm.
And all of our other senses have been forgotten. And we may say, oh no, I have a very good smell, you know, I can tell from kilometers. But it's not only experiencing smell, it's allowing ourselves to feel and enjoy sensations in our body that we no longer acknowledge because we're so busy trying to, you know, be the best, you know, have the best finances, be the best at a certain thing, be the best sport person, be the best, be the best, be the best.
Mm.
So we're living in such a rush that we have forgotten to really experience with all of our senses. Yeah. So to me, being present is allowing all the other senses to, and that's also what I do in my experiences, you know, when people come. That's one of the first exercises that we will do, regardless of if it's just like an introduction into the culture or if it's deep healing. First, we have to start with awakening the sensations in our body.
Yeah.
Because as much as I like to talk about the spiritual part of ourselves, we mm-hmm. are in this physical presence. Yeah. The way that we experience life is about the physical presence. And yeah. our physical presence is the expression of the spirit as well. But we have to really be connected to this physical presence of us to understand and see what happens. And it's so difficult because we're not used to that. We've been repressed from feeling.
Yeah.
Feeling is not allowed in our society, you know, regardless if we're men or women. Yeah. Men are deprived from their feelings. They're not supposed to express anything. Mm. We are supposed to express only suffering, only, oh, sir, you know, but we're also deprived from feeling. We're not allowed, we have been, we have not been allowed to feel, you know, the pleasures of life. Men exactly. a little bit more allowed to, you know, enjoy pleasure from the eroticism and things like that. But for us women, we've been so repressed. So most human beings, we have been taught not to feel. No matter what it is, not to feel anything, not to feel an emotion, not to cry, not to express anything, and just like become robots. Especially now, you know, we're more into the digital world.
Yes.
As much as we're able to expose ourselves out there in an easier way, because we just need a camera and we can, you know, reach places that we never even thought would reach. And in the other hand, it's like no connection. So now it's not only not connection with ourselves, but also no connection with other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So the not connection is been in, sort of implanted in us from a very long time ago. And that's actually where the problem lays, you know. When there's no connection with this, there's no connection with anything. You know, when I was talking about my experience, that's exactly what happened to me. Yeah. There was this huge disconnection that, you know, I don't know what gives me pleasure. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I enjoy. Saying certain words, even the word I like, I really had to work at that. Because, and even sometimes, you know, such easy decisions, like, do you want ice cream or well, let's make it not so like into desserts, you know, like whether, you know, simple decisions. So what do you want to eat? Sometimes we don't know what we want.
No.
And it's such a simple decision. So that tells us about, and we're like, oh no, I like so many things. That's why it's hard to decide. No, you know, trusting ourselves, believing in ourselves, being okay with, and allowing to express a desire is become so hard. So, you know, so many simple things, and I call them simple because they're in the body, have been suppressed. And, you know, how can we connect, allow your senses to open, whether it is enjoying a meal that you really like, whether it is, if you like watching movies, when you're watching a movie, instead of just watching, you know, kind of closing your eyes, maybe listening a little bit more, allowing your body to feel what happens when you're, you know, experiencing this movie that you really like. And for us women, we've been taught that romantic movies are like the ones that make us feel more. But experience, you know, experience with other type of movies, and just kind of like allow your sensations in the body to allow yourself to notice and realize what your way of being present, you know, with everyday experiences. Or if you're going in the subway, try to observe a little bit more. But again, you know, the sight is the one that we normally go through. Everything kind of like seems to come through our eyes more, but like, you know, allow to feel the closeness of the people right next to you. So there's so many exercises that have to do with the senses. And by awakening the senses, or by allowing us to experience our senses, is not as easy, because we're not used to it. And we don't want to spend time doing that, but it's the best way to expand our senses and to allow emotions, sensations, feeling.
Wow, thank you so much.
We're lacking that. That's one of the biggest problems, you know, that we were lacking that. But hopefully we can all return to our sensations and our emotions, and yeah, that's where the trick is.
Thank you for that, for giving us that. I think that is so, that is so helpful. We just need more connection, basically, and we need to feel allow our feelings and being. Thank you so much, Ines. I think now we have taken up so much of your time, so I think we need to round up. we could have just listened to you all day.
Thank you so much.
This was so profound and so beautiful. This will benefit so many, I am sure. It's so beautiful to hear you speak. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And we talked about this a little bit before the interview, that you do so much. So we have so many things we want to talk to you about and just explore and go deeper into. And one of those things is actually death, which is a subject that we don't talk about at all in Scandinavia, at least. We never talk about it because everyone thinks it's really scary and it's something horrible. But you wrote so beautifully that understanding death as the continuity of life. And I think that's so beautiful. And I know that you do a lot of work around this. And so we would really like to meet you again and talk about death. that would be wonderful. We'll just reconnect with you in the fall again to talk a little bit more about death. For many here in Scandinavia, at least, a new way of looking at it, would say. But thank you so much. Is there something you would like to to say to our listeners before we end the call, Ines?
Well, something that I think it's important to remember is that there are certain, whether you see certain how can I say it? Okay. My message would be that, and my prayer actually for all of us, is that we remember that regardless if we see things or not, that we're more, in other words, we are more than what we see with our open eyes. Mm. You know, humanity, we all human beings are more than what we can see of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're much bigger. We're such a complex, beautiful creatures that it's about time for us to start exploring this beautiful creature that we are. And that is certainly going to give us more fulfillment than what society has implied to us that we are or that we need to become. If we put our value on what we need to become or what we have or what talents, you know, we hold, then we're missing the greatness and the most marvelous things of ourselves, which is getting to know ourselves, getting to discover what moves us, what, you know, drives us, and that there's more fulfilling in that. So it's always worth spending time discovering who we truly are, what, you know, what emotions, what feelings we hold, more than trying to fulfill our bank accounts or having these beautiful, amazing homes that sometimes we sit there, but we feel empty.
Mm.
So we're more than just things. We're more than the things that we can achieve. So I hope that in this 2022, people spend more time getting to discover who they truly are and learning more about themselves.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful prayer. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. And my wish for you too, and for me as well, you know, not to forget that over here lays so much wisdom, so much to still discover until the last breath of our day, of our life, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Ines.
This has been such a blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, we are so grateful to have had this conversation with you. And we are so happy that we get to see you soon again then. We'll connect again after the summer.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for taking your time to meet with me and to talk to me. And thank you so much, Emma and Josefina.
Yeah. Okay, both ways.
Okay. Thank you. And I wish you the best of, not the best of luck, but the best of the consciousness awakening, not only for you, but for your audience. And I wish you tons of abundance, but abundance in life and abundance in this whole wisdom that I know that you will be presenting to your listeners. And I truly hope that your souls express through yourself so you can reach your goal. And you told me a little bit about what you guys want to do the other day, but whatever your deepest desire it is within your soul, I hope that you guys get to reach that point. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best as well. Spiritorious.